Thank you for being here this morning and to hear from the book of Acts, chapter number 10. You know, God prepares people for the work he has for them to do. And I thank God for his preparation. And I think he prepared me to be a teacher and a preacher and to sing his gospel message, and I appreciate that and the opportunities that I have to do that. And this is one of those opportunities, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm thankful you're here this morning. Now, we're in Acts chapter number 10. Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian band, has been praying to God, and we talked about what his prayer consisted of, and one of the things he was asking for is how to be saved. And so God directed him through a vision to send for Peter, who was about 30 miles or so south of Caesarea in the city of Joppa. Now, we talked before about Philip. Philip was already in Caesarea. And wonder why didn't he call for Philip, who was right there in the city of Caesarea, instead of calling for Peter, who was more than a day's travel away? Why? Well, the reason is because God had prepared Peter for this task that was about to be accomplished. He didn't prepare Philip for this task. He prepared Peter for this task. Peter is the man, you may recall, who when they came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was asking the question, whom do men say that I am? And they responded, some say that you're Elijah, and some say you're that prophet. But Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter responded, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. It was Peter who was in the boat there on the Sea of Galilee. You remember a great storm came up, and the disciples were in a boat rowing, and Jesus came walking on the water. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the Sea of Galilee. It's surrounded by mountains all the way around. It's one of the most beautiful areas of that part of the world. Very lush. You can grow anything there. The lake is, or the sea is, teeming with all kinds of fish, all kinds of life. But those mountains, because of those mountains, a storm can come up very abruptly. They didn't have radar. They didn't have television and radio to warn people there's a storm coming. So they didn't know there was a storm coming until it came. So the storm came that night, and the disciples were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee rowing, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And he says, fear not, it is I. And Peter responded, well, if that be you, Lord, command me to come unto you on the water. Now think about that. Lord, if that's you, let me come to you walking on the water. Nobody else asked that question but Peter. The only man who ever has walked on the water other than Jesus is Peter. Peter had the faith to ask the question. Peter had the faith to step out on the water. It was Peter on the day of Pentecost that stood and preached that sermon, and 3,000 souls were saved. Or in chapter 3 when he was on Solomon's porch and preached that sermon when the lame man was healed. You remember the story? And 5,000 were saved. So God has been preparing Peter for what's about to take place. Peter is traveling from Joppa to Caesarea. Let's pick up the story. Let's see. Where should we begin? Let's start at verse 24. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. Now, this is Peter, and he has six of his Jewish friends with him. And there were three of the Gentiles that Cornelius had sent to fetch Peter in this group that's traveling. And when they come into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, now it doesn't say coming in to what? I think as he was coming in to Caesarea, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, how's Peter going to respond to that? But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a," what? "I'm a man just like you are." Now, that doesn't sound like a pope to me. Huh? That doesn't sound like what a pope would do. But it's what Peter did. He said, "Stand up. I'm a man just like you. There's only one who's to be worshiped. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." There's only one God, and he's the only one we should worship. So Peter rebuked him and said, "Stand up, I'm a man just like you are." Peter took him up. I think he helped him to his feet. "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. I think the house was full of those who had come for this purpose, to hear what Peter has to say. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation." That's what the law said. And that was the reason for the dietary laws, which was the great sheet let down from heaven. You remember, filled with all kinds of animals, clean and unclean. And the Lord said, "Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that's unclean, common or unclean." And the Lord responded, "That which God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Now, that's dealing with dietary laws. Now, that affects who you associate with. If you can't eat what they eat, it's difficult to associate with those people, isn't it? Because that's one of the ways they associate, is by eating together. So right there, you've isolated yourself from the Gentile peoples. But there was more to it than just the dietary laws, because in this was the implication that this not just applies to dietary laws, but it also applies to mankind as a whole. There's no man unclean. There's no man common. And Peter is in the process of learning this lesson. He said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Any man. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying." That means without argument, without disagreement, without gainsaying. "As soon as I was sent for, I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me." Now, he knew that it was God's will that he go. He does not know yet what the purpose is. But if you know God's telling you to do something, you don't need to know the purpose. You just do it because God said it. Amen? That's called living by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by God's word. That's what faith is. If you want a definition of faith, Faith is believing God. That means believing what God has said. Now, where do we find what God has said? In the Bible, right? That's the only place we can go and find what God has said. Now, when God speaks, what does He use to speak? Words. Words. So if we're going to believe what God has said, then we have to believe His words. Does that make sense? Now the question becomes then, where do I find His words? There's only one place you'll find them. That's in this book. I'm talking about the King James Bible. Not another version, because they don't have the same words. I want God's words. Amen? I'm not so much interested in what some man thinks God meant. I want to know what God said. And it's up to me and the Holy Spirit to understand what God meant. That makes sense? Who is our teacher? The Holy Spirit. So, therefore came I, verse 29, therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. He didn't hesitate. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. Now we talked about he was praying, he was giving alms, and now we learn the third thing that was primary in Jewish practice, besides prayer, besides almsgiving, was fasting. This man was doing all three of those things. He was embracing the Jewish faith. Is he a Jew? No. He's never submitted to circumcision, which would allow him to join as a proselyte, the Jewish religion, the Jewish faith, but he's embraced the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, as his God. And he prays to that God. He gives alms to others out of love for God and others. He fasts. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. Now that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the time of Jewish prayer. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they prayed as a people. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they prayed. Let's back up. 4 days ago, verse 30, I was fasting till this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. Now, we talked about this last week. Will God hear a sinner's prayer? He hears one here, doesn't he? Okay. So God does. That's a question I hear asked quite often, and the answer is not hard to find. So I was fasting to this hour. At the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. This was no ordinary man. He was wearing what? Bright clothing. Some places he's called an angel. But here it's called a man in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is what? Heard. God heard his prayer. And thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. You know what you do for God? God sees. There's nothing you do that God doesn't see. Not just the good, but the bad also. You know, a lot of times we think we do things in a corner where no one knows it but ourselves. There's someone else who knows. God knows. Not just what you do, but what you think. God knows. You know what that tells me? We ought to be careful what we think. What determines what you think? What you see, what you hear, what you experience, that determines what you think. It's kind of like a computer. You only get out what you put in. Right? We have that saying in the computer industry, garbage in, garbage out. You put good information in, you get good information out. The same is true here. If you want to put out good information, what do you need to put in? Good information. That means you ought to be careful what you watch, what you look at. You ought to be careful what you listen to, what kind of music you listen to. That's why it's a good idea to spend a lot of time in your Bible. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what God tells us to think about. Where do you find those things? In the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stay in your Bible. So Cornelius was praying, and his prayer was heard, and he was given a command. Verse 32, send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore, I sent unto thee. Well, as soon as he received a command from God, what did he do? He obeyed it. When we receive a command from God, what should we do? When? Immediately. Now, he got his command through a vision. Where do we get our commands? From the Bible, from God's Word. This is God's revelation to man, the Bible. It's God's complete revelation to man. Somebody comes and said, well, God spoke to me and God said, I said, well, what kind of voice did he have? Was he a tenor or a baritone? God speaks through his word. There's nothing to be added to what's in his word. Read Revelation chapter 22. No man shall add to the words of this book, nor take away from the words of this book. This book's not to be added to. It's not to be taken from. It's complete. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? We have a book that's complete. Everything that God wants us to know is in this book. Now, are there things that God hasn't told us? Yes. But everything God wants us to know, he's placed in this book. Read it. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you want to get a preacher fired up, you tell him, we're all here to hear what God has to say today. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here because we're supposed to be here. We're here because we want to hear from God. We want to know what it is God wants from us. When I come to church, I want to learn something new that I'm not doing that I should be doing. Or I want to learn something I am doing that I shouldn't be doing. In other words, what I'm saying, I want to leave here better for having been here. We've come here, we've gathered here, Cornelius said, to hear what? All things. Maybe there's some things that the Bible teaches us that we're not really all that eager to obey. We ought to obey them anyway. All things that God has spoken. A lot of people think that the Bible is like a smorgasbord. You get in line, you go down the line. Well, you know, I like this, but I don't really care for that. I'll take some of this, but I don't think I want any of that. You don't approach the Bible that way. If God says it, that's it. There's no debate. There's no discussion. You don't need to pray about it. If God said it, just what? Do it. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, now Peter's prepared for this moment, fully prepared. God's prepared him. And he says here, he said, I perceive, that word perceive means I understand. I've come to understand that God is no respecter of persons. That means God does not respect one race over another race or one ethnicity over another ethnicity. But God sees men, as mankind. Now, does God have respect for some men and not others? Yeah. But it's not based on their race or their ethnicity. It's based on their behavior. God blesses some men and curses other men. Did you know that? God blesses obedience. But what about those who are disobedient and willful and rebellious? God has consequences for that person. The God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So what is Peter opening here saying? Well, he said, I was brought up with bias and prejudice against everyone who's not a Jew. But he said, I've come to understand that's not God's plan. God's plan is to accept any man. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Jesus came preaching peace. He is Lord of whom? Not just the Jew. He is Lord of all. Now, everybody may not recognize him as Lord, but whether you recognize him as Lord or not, he is Lord. That's what that verse says. He is Lord of all. And one day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord of all. They may not do it today, but they will. You know when the best time to do it is? Now. Do it now. Don't wait till that day, because when that day comes, it's too late. Trust him today. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come to him today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for that day when every knee shall bow. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea. He said, you Cornelius and you folks, you know this gospel. You've heard this gospel. It's been preached throughout this area. Philip is here. He's preaching it, I'm sure. And began from Galilee. That's where the gospel began. The first year of our Lord's ministry was where? In Galilee. It began in Galilee, it says here. After the baptism which John preached. It began with what? John's baptism. You remember that day when Jesus came and John the Baptist said, Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee. And Jesus said, no, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. John, he baptized him. And when he baptized him, what happened? He came up out of the water. And the Spirit of God descended on Jesus in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven was heard saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's what took place there at his baptism. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power, beginning with his baptism. Jesus began to preach. Beginning with his baptism, Jesus began to heal. Beginning with his baptism, Jesus began to perform miracles. There's not a single miracle recorded prior to his baptism. There's not a single sermon recorded prior to his baptism. It began when he was baptized. He was anointed of God with power for the prosecution of his ministry. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was what? With him. God was with him. God was in him. He is God. Amen? Now, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now, that's what he talks about, his death. Jesus died. That's a fact. He died on the cross. Him God raised up the third day. That's a fact. It's a fact that he died. It's also a fact that he rose again. And he was seen after his resurrection and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, if you eat and drink with somebody, you get to know them pretty well. Huh? So were they fooled? Or did they know this was Jesus? They knew it was Jesus. 40 days he was with them. He ate and drank with them. He fellowshiped with them. They knew him. So here's the gospel right here. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. That's what Peter preached here, the gospel. That's what we should preach, the gospel. Now, there's more to the gospel than just the death, burial, but that's the primary thrust of the gospel, is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to pay for our sins. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Who's going to be the judge someday? Jesus. That's the gospel. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus, shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins when they get baptized. I didn't hear an objection. When do you receive forgiveness of sins? When you believe. I didn't see any mention of baptism there. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, we're getting into something that's going to cause a little controversy. Remember, I told you when Luke records, he records what he sees. He records what? Facts. Here's a fact. When Peter was preaching these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which believed. That's a fact. A recognized fact which Luke saw. How did he see it? When a person receives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, can you see it? It's not visible, is it? Something took place here that was visible. Notice the words. As Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. What's that preposition? On them, not in them. Is there a difference between on and in? There is, isn't there? What happened here? They saw, Luke saw the Holy Ghost fall on all them which believed. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. God has shown favor to these Gentiles. And these Gentiles are uncircumcised. Can an uncircumcised individual find favor with God? That's what happened here. And these Jews were what? Astonished. Amazed. And they which of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with what? Tongues. Languages. And magnify God. Now, this speaking in tongues was miraculous, just like it was on the day of Pentecost. Turn with me to Acts 15. I think it's Acts 15. Peter is rehearsing what took place. And Peter said in verse 8, "And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." Even as he did. In other words, this is the same thing. As a demonstration that what he did for the Jew, he was willing to do for a Gentile. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Now, when did they get baptized? After they've received the Holy Ghost. After they've been saved. Every time in the Bible where you read someone gets baptized, when is it? After they've believed. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." What is the one requirement for baptism? Belief. Faith. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, I take from that to mean that Peter didn't baptize, but he commanded them to be baptized. And they were baptized. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So he remained there with them in Caesarea for a period of time. Any question on this chapter quickly before we close?
Is it accurate to say that the falling on the Holy Ghost and the outward demonstration of that came after they had already received the Holy Ghost?
Let me put it like this. In the New Testament now, will the Holy Ghost come on an individual who does not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? No, the indwelling precedes the Holy Ghost coming on them. That's the way it takes place in the New Testament. That's not true in the Old Testament, but that's true in the New Testament. For the Holy Ghost came on people in the Old Testament, but they did not have the indwelling in the Old Testament. For example, the man who built the tabernacle. The Bible tells us the Holy Ghost came on him and empowered him and enabled him to construct the tabernacle. The Holy Ghost came on Saul, came on David, came on various prophets in the Old Testament, but he did not indwell any of them. In the New Testament, he indwells first, then he empowers. That makes sense? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you for your time. You're dismissed.